Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs, bestowing life. Happy Easter. I have three homilies prepared today. I have $100 homily, and that'll be for 5 minutes. I have a $50 homily for half an hour, and I have a $5 homily, so you take your pick. It's good to see so many smiling faces here today. You know, in some parts of the world, they have a tradition of greeting one another during the Easter season. One person says, "Christ is risen," and the other responds, "Truly, he is risen." Christ is risen. Truly, he is risen. Christ is risen. Truly, he is risen. Christ is risen. Beautiful. Amen. Now, we all know what happened and what it is that we are commemorating this morning. And we say it in the Creed every week. Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day. But the two questions I'd like us to consider today are, what does it mean and why does it matter? A survey from 2000 said 84% of people who never go to church believe Jesus rose from the dead. That's amazing, given that it happened 2,000 years ago. But the strength of the evidence would confirm why. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ. Jesus was meeting with people, talking with people, and even eating with them, believer and non-believer alike, all after he suffered his torture, confirmed dead, and buried in the tomb. But what does his resurrection mean? And it means three things. One, Jesus is who he claimed to be. Two, Jesus has the power he claimed to have. And three, Jesus did what he promised to do. Our Lord said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." Jesus made some extraordinary claims when he was walking this earth. He said things like, "I am God. I am the only way to heaven. I am the truth and the life. I am the Savior of the world." And there are a lot of people out there who try to make Jesus into just a good teacher, and that's all. But a good teacher would never say that. I could teach you good moral truths, and you might say, "Father Raymond's a good teacher." But if I started calling myself God, you wouldn't think so. You'd call me a lunatic or a liar. And Jesus was either who he said he was, or he was the greatest madman or liar who ever lived. When Jesus cleared the money changers out of the temple, they said, "What right do you have to do this?" He said, "Because I'm God." They said, "Prove it." And he said, "I will. 3 days after you kill me, I'm going to come back to life." He claimed to be God and said he would resurrect from the dead. And this is what makes all the difference. He did. His resurrection backs up what he claimed to be. Jesus said, "All power on earth and in heaven is given to me." Because he's God, he can do everything God can do. "Nobody takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." Nothing could keep Jesus in the tomb. Not the Jewish leaders who gave him up to the Roman government, not the Romans who scourged him, crucified him, and sealed him in a tomb and posted a guard there. They were only trying to prevent the inevitable. Jesus said, "They can't stop me. I can give my life away, and I can take it up again." Our Lord said, "They will mock and flog and kill me, but after 3 days I will come back to life." The cross wasn't a surprise for him. It was all a part of God's plan. The angel said at the tomb, "Don't be frightened. I know you're looking for Jesus who is crucified, but he isn't here. He's come back to life just as he had said." He delivered on that promise. And when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And that's what Easter means. Because Jesus rose from the dead, he is who he said he was. He has the power he said he had, and he keeps the promises he made. So what? Why does the resurrection matter? What difference does it make? Well, the resurrection matters because our past can be forgiven. And that's good news. Have you ever been halfway through a project and wish you could start over? A lot of times people feel that way about life. They get halfway through life and wish they could start over. We've all done things we wish we hadn't done. We've all said things we wish we hadn't said. And we all thought things we wish we hadn't thought. We all have our regrets. We all feel about things. We all feel bad about things we've done. We all have guilt. But the good news is, as St. Paul said, Jesus has forgiven all our sins and canceled every debt we owe. He hung on that cross for our hang-ups. He was nailed to that cross so we could quit nailing ourselves to the cross. He wants to forgive our past. He wants to cancel every debt we owe. Emotional debts, relational debts, sins. Everything canceled. There is no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ. You can walk out of here today knowing that every single thing you've ever done wrong until this point can be completely forgiven by coming to Christ and to his church. He's given us everything that we need, the sacraments, so that we can receive his mercy, compassion, and grace. That also is good news. I didn't come to condemn the world, I came to save it. He says to us, I want to change you, I want to help you, I want to give you a new beginning, and I want to give you a clear conscience. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and the number one complaint I hear is, my life is out of control. I feel powerless to change the situation. I feel powerless to break a bad habit. I feel powerless to save a relationship. I feel powerless. In the 12-step program, the first two steps are, we admitted we were powerless, that our lives had become unmanageable, and we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us. We know we can't do everything on our own. We human beings are limited creatures, and we need a power greater than ourselves. How incredibly great is God's power to help those who believe him? The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, says St. Paul. The same power that enabled Jesus to rise from death can help us rise above our problems. The same power God used at the resurrection 2,000 years ago can be used in our life right now. You don't know what the future holds, and I don't either. I don't know what's going to happen next year, next month, next week, not even tomorrow. But it doesn't matter. Because even though the future's out of our control, it's not out of God's. He gives us the power to face it. With him, we can say, I am ready for anything through the strength of Christ who lives in me. I want to help you, God says. Some of you are here with heavy hearts. You might have had a tough week, a tough month, or year. But don't give up. No problem is too big for God. No situation is too hopeless if you turn over your life and your hearts back to him. We all know that saying, nothing is certain except death and taxes. Well, I don't know about taxes, But let's face it, everyone dies. For most of us, none of us were here 100 years ago, and for most of us, none of us will be here 100 years from now. We're going to die someday, and only a fool would go through life unprepared for something he knows will happen. But we have to stop to think about what will come. People don't like to talk about death. Well, invite your friends over to dinner and say, let's talk about death and see what happens. If you haven't thought about it already, you will one day. What will happen after we die? And we know that in the end, we'll end up in one of two places of our choosing. We will be living with Christ forever or without Christ forever. And if we choose to live without him now, then we choose to live without him forever. If we choose to live with him now, we will choose to live with him forever. And who wouldn't want that? To be in the presence of divine love for eternity. So, would you like to have everything you've ever done wrong completely forgiven? Would you like to have that clear conscience? Would you like to have a greater power to help you manage your problems? Would you like to have your future secured? Then come to Christ or come back to him. And that's the difference his resurrection makes. Understanding what happened isn't enough. All of us came here today for different reasons. Some of you came because it's the traditional thing to do. Others of you came because a friend or family member invited you. Well, it doesn't matter why you think you came here. You are not here by accident. God brought you here. God knows you, and he wants you to know him even more deeply. And that's why he came to this earth. That's why he died. And that's why he resurrected from the dead, so that you can come here today with an open heart and say, God, here I am. The Holy Mass, the Eucharist, is the closest thing we'll ever get to be with God on this side of heaven. And if you've prepared well by making your confession and keeping the fast, come to receive your Lord. And if you're not prepared, there's still time. Make that good confession this Easter season. One of the early bishops of the church, St. John Chrysostom, preached his Easter homily and is recited every single year by many Christian churches throughout the world. And he said, if you are a devout lover of God, enjoy this beautiful feast day. If you serve gratefully, rejoice and enter into the joy of the Lord. If you have wearied yourself with fasting and penance, receive now your reward. Do not fear death, for the Savior's death has set us free. Christ is risen and death is overthrown. Christ is risen and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen and life reigns. For Christ, being raised from the dead, has become the first fruit of those that have fallen asleep. To him be glory and might forever and ever. Amen. Christ is risen. Truly he is risen.